Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, we have been, we've started our series on missions. It's been in discussion for quite a while, so last week was our first episode on that, and we dealt with the call to missions, a more general church believer call for all of us
right.
to be a part of. And if you missed that episode, we encourage you to go back and listen to that because it really lays the groundwork
right.
as we move forward. But we want to now answer the question of why missions is crucial. So if we're all called, then why is it crucial? Why is it important? Why is this a do or die thing for the kingdom, if
yeah,
you will?
Yeah, we had a little discussion about the reality of the word I used, the cruciality. I remember a book coming out called The Cruciality of the Cross.
Hmm.
It was by James Stewart. But anyway, if we say the crucialness or the crucial nature of missions,
right.
the cruciality of missions, we want to see that missions is at the crux, and that they come from the same
right.
root, the crux of what God is doing.
Right.
That's important. Crux, cross, crucial, all those. That's interesting. It's a little word study
right.
here. But if you look at the cross, crucifixion, mm-hmm. crux, center, focal point, cruciality, all those concepts come from the same
right,
word.
And just as a side note here, we have a storm that's brewing where we are, so if people hear thunder, that's why.
We're not in a soundproof booth.
Yeah, right. So don't pay attention to that. We are safe and everything's good. So we're going to be dealing with Matthew 24:14 as our passage that we're going to be looking at to kind of draw from and glean from. So as we talk about the cruciality of missions, we have three things that are going to guide us through this discussion. We're going to talk about the proclamation of the gospel. That is key. That is important. That is foremost. Then we're going to talk about the penetration of the gospel, and then we're going to talk about the consummation of the gospel. So jumping in here, the proclamation of the gospel. What do we mean by that? I think some may have an idea, but biblically, what do we mean by that?
You know, I'm an old guy from the old school, and I'm into preaching.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not all there is to it, you know. And the whole matter of preaching being the way the gospel is communicated as the primary means. Now, some would take issue and say, no, people really get saved when you go and you talk to them face to face. That's true, they do get saved that way. But if you look at the New Testament, the Gospels and Acts, where it's demonstrated, it's ordained in the Gospels, demonstrated in Acts, and then supported by the apostles in the letters that are written after Acts or during Acts, then we see that gospel proclamation is the means for the spread of the gospel,
mm-hmm.
the primary means. There's power in the proclamation of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk a little more about that later, but first we...
Well, you said this, and I'll just back up. You said salvation and gospel success has had one primary means.
I don't think that's presumptuous to say.
Yeah, it's not.
That is biblically, historically, the way it has been.
Okay, so the proclamation, how does that break down?
Well, first of all, you see the promise of the Savior. Now, if we're not careful, this passage is so powerful. It is crucial. It is at the crux of this whole prophetic Matthew 24. But Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. This is the promise of our Savior.
So proclaiming is
yeah.
a promise.
This gospel will be preached.
It
this
will
gospel
happen.
Of the kingdom will be it will happen.
No
this
doubt
is
about
a promise.
It. Right?
Is it a command? It is, not here, but it is commanded. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So, and there's a word in the New Testament that specifically refers to proclamation. I said in a class that you were in our church that preaching is not conversation.
Hmm.
It's proclamation. That means somebody gets up and says, this is the truth, believe it or perish.
Don't just talk about it.
Yeah. It's not just a conversation. And some of us in our preaching were conversational than others. But in the end, we are proclaiming the truth. And Jesus promised that the gospel of the kingdom, I think we should just make one note here and we'll pass on with it. Some people believe, that there are different gospels. You know, there's
gospel of the kingdom.
There's gospel of grace.
Right.
There's gospel of the kingdom.
Right.
There's one gospel.
Right.
It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of grace. It's the gospel of salvation by grace through faith in the death of Christ, resurrection of Christ. So this gospel shall be preached in all the world.
Well, and you said this is not only, there's not only one gospel, but this gospel that we're talking about is the modus for our missional activity.
It is. This is it. We have this. If we can only see how crucial the gospel is, we go back to this word. Yeah, how crucial the gospel is, this whole thing.
By the way, it's crucial.
Yeah, it is. But with that said, there is the promise of the Savior, but there's the preaching of the Scriptures. And so the proclamation's the means, the modus operandi, the Scriptures are what gets preached. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. God saves through gospel, Scripture, proclamation. And so that means...
Would you say this discounts... I would say discounts the world being saved by any other way?
No. And that personal...
I didn't mean to throw that on to you there, but I mean...
I appreciate that. Yeah. We didn't discuss that before.
I know, but it just hit me.
Personal witnessing. We see personal witnessing in Acts. We see those scattered abroad who went about talking about... I preach a message called Gossiping for Jesus. Mm-hmm. Gossiping about Christ. Talking about Christ. So, yes, that's and that is a means. It's that the hallmark... The one thing that sticks out in New Testament is gospel preaching. And so if this is a promise that it will happen, certainly we should take that promise. We'll take all these promises. We love promises, right? God gave us a promise that we'll never leave us or forsake us, you know, that in all these things. Well, there's a promise.
Well, Romans 10 talks about that, the need and the necessity of a preaching,
mm-hmm.
and the necessity of them hearing
exactly.
the Word of God. Now, is there these crazy means where you hear about people in the jungle who never heard the gospel, they have these dreams, they hear about the gospel, and someone comes and preaches it to them, and they go, that's what I've dreamed, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
Don't discount that necessarily, but the preaching of the gospel right. must be primary.
It's the can we say, sine qua non, that without which we're
right.
not going to have gospel spread
right.
As it's ordained. So that's the proclamation of the gospel.
You made one more thing before we move on here. You said that you could argue there may have been a more effective way to reach those at Pentecost, but the preaching was that means by which they were reached.
Well, when you think about it, I think if you use some sort of consultant, and he looked at that day, and you got Jews from all over the place.
A professional consultant.
Yeah.
A business
consultant.
And he comes
in, and he says, all right, we're going to
get these
folks aside.
Yeah. Consultant.
I don't think we would, as humans, say, well, somebody's going to get up and start broadcasting his voice
mm-hmm.
and preaching and proclaiming and projecting his voice out to all these people and calling them to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But that's exactly... And you say, well, that's one, and that, you know, if you take that out of context, because obviously it was a special situation, no doubt. But if you keep looking, first Jesus ordained it and promised it. You see it continue in Acts, and you see it referred to by someone like Paul who said, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks an offense, but Greeks foolishness. But we preach Christ. So, just look at the context of the whole New Testament, the flow, and I think we see that.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got the proclamation of the gospel. We know it's a promise. We know it's going to happen. We know that preaching is primary, preaching of Scriptures. What about the penetration of the gospel? So it's been preached, or it's being preached. We should be doing that. Penetration. What does it look like? What happens?
Well, Jesus says in this passage, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness to all nations. So... there's something in this about the purpose of missions. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world. The word for world there is not the word cosmos, which means the created order. It's the world of people. It's the peoples of the world. And the purpose of missions is to, and of the proclamation of the gospel, is to get that proclamation of the gospel out there to those peoples. That's right, to the peoples who inhabit the world.
Wherever those people may be.
Wherever people inhabit the earth, the gospel will be preached and is to be preached.
But you and I had this discussion. So easy is it to use that excuse that, well, I can stay right here and preach the gospel. We never need to go. No, because the Scripture says we are to go.
Right.
to the unreached, the
somebody's
people who
supposed
never
to go. It might be you. It might as well be you.
And it might as well be you. Stop thinking of a reason why you can't go and just go if that's what God's calling you to do.
Right. And so that's the purpose of missions, to get the gospel to the inhabited world. And that's going to happen just by the promise of Christ here and by what God has ordained.
And it's, you said it's possible that the apostles didn't even realize the magnitude of this.
Oh, I don't think they did at all.
Just the sure massive task at hand of doing this.
Well,
I mean,
when you think about Jesus gave this direction, you shall be witness to me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and other parts of the earth. It just started happening.
Right.
Next thing you know, they're in Judea and then Samaria, of all places. I mean, that was an ethnic
mess.
And
persecution scattered them. You hear that in James and many other places, scattered abroad.
And then you got Paul and Barnabas and Paul and Silas going to all over Europe, and Paul maybe as far as Spain, maybe even England. We don't know. And so you're seeing this penetration by that Jesus talked about, but I don't think they saw that on the front end.
But then, God did in his sovereignty, which we will talk about.
And
he
saw the way it is with the plan of God. Right. We don't see the whole picture. But then there's the price of missions. There's a word here that's used that does not, in its original meaning, mean martyrdom. But it is a word from which we get our word martyr.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the word witness. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. Now, what we see then is, in this is that being a missionary, being a gospel carrier, became so associated with suffering and even martyrdom that the word for witness in the Greek came to be transliterated over into English as martyr, martyrdom. And we even have a Justin Martyr, who was a church father. You know, Paul died for the gospel. Peter died for the gospel. All the apostles except John died for the gospel. And we don't know about him. We know he lived longer than the rest of them. But so what happened is witnessing, mission activity, came to be associated with a cost, a price.
And it may not necessarily be our lives, though that may happen, especially those who go to people who are very acoustic to the gospel. You know, maybe it be more of a Muslim nature. You know, they're very acoustic to the gospel. But it's going to be a cost some way or another.
Yeah, and that's, so what we see in church history is
we don't want
that,
to discount it, is maybe is what I'm saying. There's going to be different kinds of cost.
There is. It could be monetary. It could be being with your family. It could be health. But there's always been a cost attached to missions. And so much so that the word in the Greek became associated with martyrdom.
You know, it's interesting. I've done a lot of short-term mission trips. It's been as long as 5 weeks. It's been as short as, you know, 10 days. And one of the things that I remember in traveling is people would always pray, you know, rebuke Satan so that we don't get sick and blah, blah, blah. And I think I know what they mean. You don't want people to get sick if they don't have to. But the fact is when we traveled to these other countries, I knew the possibility of getting sick was very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wouldn't call that...
In fact, it was so strong that you were pretty sure you would get sick.
Right. I don't call that suffering necessarily for the gospel, but I do think we often discount what comes with the fact that we're going to do this work.
Missions activity, yeah.
If you get sick, it's not because Satan's trying to hinder you. That's just part of the process of being in a country where there is bacteria that your body is not used to, and so you're going to get sick.
Well, your younger brother, my younger son... Micah has come close to death a couple of times simply because he has some physical issues that come to bear on that. So hey, I mean, you don't know when you go what's going to cost you.
And I don't, so we don't need to discount that.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No, in fact, that's part of it. That has become part of
it. So it could be as insignificant as throwing up and getting better or as crucial.
Well, as
or
your
as
wife who
deep.
Had some long-term physical problems that
came
she just got over
trip.
In the last year or so.
But it could be as much as dying.
It can.
Given your life.
Be death.
Yeah.
There's a cost. That's the idea.
Okay, so very interesting fact there. I didn't even know when we were discussing that in regards to the price, the cost, and the whole issue of martyrdom. But kind of moving along here, the proclamation, the penetration, now the consummation. The end is coming, right?
Yeah, the end is coming. The end is near.
Right.
And it is. Nearer than it used to be, nearer than it was. But here's the thing. Maybe we can quickly go through this. There are eschatological... ramifications
to the gospel.
People
kind of cringe at that word.
Well,
eschatology,
I'm sorry. prophecy. I mean, but most people who study prophecy at all or heard preachers have heard the term eschatology. Right.
No, but I'm just saying people tend to think, well, I just believe it's all going to pan out, you know, and God's going to come back.
Well, it is, but there's a gospel implication here, and the gospel is it's going to come to consummation. The gospel's going somewhere.
Right.
And the end is coming, and the gospel has everything to do with that. So a couple of things to see here, because Jesus says, and then shall the end come. Now, this passage is right in the middle of one of the largest and most well-known prophetic eschatological passages in Scripture.
So missions is attached to the coming of Christ.
It is. Exactly, it is. It sure is. It is crucial to the issue. A couple of things for us to notice. One is the sovereignty of God in prophecy. That is, Jesus is coming. We don't know when.
Right.
He is coming. He will come.
We have our time with that.
Yeah. Well, I used to try to predict it when I was a younger, more foolish guy. He is coming, and that time, those events are ordained by the Lord. But, so there's the sovereignty of God, and this whole issue of prophecy and the gospel and missions. There's a responsibility of the church.
In prophecy.
Yes, in prophecy.
We're part of
sovereignty of God in prophecy, the responsibility of the church in prophecy.
We're part of fulfilling that prophecy.
This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world as a witness to the nations. Then, and not until then, the end will come.
So after the gospel's been preached.
Yeah. So that means we have a part in, a responsibility in the unfolding will of God. As David Platt used that term in a message we heard about 4 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, the unfolding plan of God. We don't know the plan's unfolding, but we're a part of that unfolding plan, and missions is a part of that unfolding plan. And so when the gospel has gone to the inhabited world, to the wherever people live, wherever people inhabit the world, and the different ethnic peoples, the ethnos, the nations, have heard the gospel without favor of any particular ethnic group, all will hear the gospel, all trust Christ in the same way, all come to Christ in the same way, then the end will come.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Piper said, you know, if we often say, or it's more of a paraphrase of what he said, but we often say, you know, come Lord Jesus quickly.
Yeah.
Well, if we want him to come quickly, then we need to be about his work.
Take the gospel in more places, that's right.
You know, and I think we need to realize it's no sooner than when the work of the gospel is accomplished that he will come.
Yeah.
It's not going to be any sooner than that. Yes, it's going to be soon. It's always been soon. But it's not going to be any sooner than the work of the gospel is accomplished.
You know, we might get some response. We don't get a whole lot of response to our podcast. That's one that might get some people thinking.
Right.
And that'd be wonderful. We'd love that.
But this should motivate us.
Yeah. Yeah.
This should push us forward.
And to send and to spend for the gospel.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, and we'll pick this back up again next week, Lord willing. And we do thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website, where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/VForO. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond.